into this Monday edition of the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Grayson Weir here with us, as he is every Monday morning. Big weekend for sports. A lot of W's out there. Baseball took care of business, took two or three from Iowa. Basketball goes on the road. Beats Missouri in a must-win game. Trying to keep the tournament hopes alive. Get on that bubble, the right side of the bubble, I should say. And then softball, 3-2 on the weekend in a big tournament in Oxford in the brand new stadium. And women's hoops, 22 wins on the year, 12 wins in the SEC, most ever regular season conference wins. Coach Yeo and company getting it done. Grab the 3 seed in the SEC tournament, which will start in Greenville, South Carolina, Friday. Before we bring Grayson in, do want to remind you, this show and the studio is powered by College Corner, Ridgeland, Flowood, Oxford. 3 locations. Go see them. Get your merch. Get your gifts. Get your tailgating supplies. You want to treat yourself. You want to go in there and grab something. Go see them. Sisk Avenue in Oxford. Brand new space. 4,000 square feet. Really, really nice. Immaculate, if you will. Scott and the folks over there will take care of you. You need to get some t-shirts, some polos, some hoodies, maybe a little quarter zip. Weather's turning a little bit, but might be a little chilly for maybe another month. So maybe you want to have some coverage there. Get you a nice quarter zip. They got Peach Bowl gear. They have, I'm pretty sure they still got National Championship Baseball gear. All of that and more at College Corner on Sisk Avenue in Oxford. If you can't see them in person, brick and mortar, go to collegecornerstore.com. Grayson, good morning. Like I said in the opening, big, big weekend for Ole Miss sports as pretty much everybody had themselves a weekend.
Yeah, across the board. I mean, you'd take the success. You know, there's a couple of small, minor, little concerns across the board. But all in all, good weekend. And you'll take it, you know, if you sign the dotted line on Friday for – Friday morning for what happened on Thursday, Friday, or let me try that again. Sign the dotted line on Friday morning for what happened on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
You would do so 10 times out of 10. So all in all, pretty good, but there were definitely some moments of frustration across the board.
Yeah. For those that are unfamiliar with Brody Breck's work, the Friday starter for Iowa, he's the 20th overall prospect per MLB.com for this year's draft. So no slouch. It was evident by watching what he did on Friday, 11 Ks in 5 innings, scattered 5 hits, only 1 earned run on the home run by Ethan Leger. Ole Miss battles all the way back. Once Ole Miss got into the Iowa bullpen, it was a disaster. As it probably the perfect juxtaposition. While my wife and I were watching Poor Things as we're trying to make our way through all the Oscar nominees for Best Picture, that movie is hilarious and bonkers in its own right. Iowa's bullpen was hilarious and bonkers. Not great.
Pretty embarrassing on their end, actually.
I mean, after Brody Breck had 2 walks in 5 innings, the bullpen had 11 walks. Got Ole Miss back in the game. Ole Miss just couldn't get it done. Connor Spencer got banged around, 6 earned runs in relief, and got the loss. Ole Miss ends up losing 13-7. But as we always say in college baseball, you win 2 out of 3 every weekend, you're going to be okay. I'm interested to see how this Iowa team finishes this year, Grayson. They were picked in the preseason to win the Big Ten. I think a lot of that has to do with Brody Breck. They've got some key pieces from the portal that have come in the lineup. So I'll be interested to see where the Iowa Hawkeyes are at the end of the year. Cause like we just said, that bullpen was, quite the journey.
They should not lose on Fridays.
No, he was,
they should not lose on Fridays. And I mean, that was Friday for Iowa outside of Brody was the worst case scenario. And they still came away with a win. So yeah, they should not lose on Fridays. And while Ole Miss would have preferred, to not give up 6 runs in the 9th inning, I think we can go ahead and confidently say that that was bad. Pretty good showing. I mean, keep Connor Spencer in the bullpen. I'm fine not throwing him again for the rest of the year. But other than that, you know, Dennis Gunner, well, let's talk. We're talking about Brody here, but let's talk about Dennis Gunner. Yeah, five earned runs, you know, not what you're looking for. But when you look at the, you know, head to head between Brody and Dennis Gunner, let's just go down the line here. Five innings pitched. Brody had five hits. Dennis had four hits. Gunner Dennis had five runs allowed, which, you know, that's not going to do. Five earned runs to one earned run, that just won't work. But three walks. Brody Brecht had two walks. Gunner Dennis had eight strikeouts. Brody Brecht had 11. And then from there, it's pretty much equivalent. So really, all things considered, it's like Brody Brecht, yeah, he was went out there and he was dealing and he was awesome. The only difference was just Ole Miss had weird spots. Runners got on base kind of in a way that allowed Iowa to score runs, whereas that wasn't the case on the flip side of things. I'm really excited about what I've seen from Gunnar Dennis, and I think that even though five earned runs is a concern and a glaring, you know, oh no, that can't happen on Fridays, when you look at the rest of his day, he pitched pretty well. So I think you can really just confidently say that the only reason Iowa won on Friday is because of Brody Brecht and because Connor Spencer gave up six runs in a third of an inning. But
A
that
lot of it also, Ole
gotcha.
Miss, 3 for 16 with runners on base, 1 for 11 runners in scoring position. Clutch hits have got to come.
Yep. And they
That
won't.
that's obvious. I mean, that's a pretty obvious thing to say about baseball. But hey, bounce back Saturday, Sunday, which was big. Ole Miss wins 12-5 Saturday. JT Quinn, solid outing. It was fine. Austin Simmons gets the win, two innings pitched,
He's awesome.
didn't allow any hits. But the story was Andrew Fisher talked about the portal guys. Once they kind of catch their footing, get, you know, find a role into the, you know, the lineup and mesh with the team, things are going to be better. And yeah, Fisher, 3 for 5, 5 RBIs, had a homer. He's starting to lock in. I kind of like him in that two spot in the lineup too.
I do too.
But yeah, he had a hell of a day. Trayson Hughes, another transfer guy coming around, 2 for 3, had an RBI. So it's slowly coming together. You know, true freshman Smith, Campbell Smithwick, 2 for 4. So yeah, this lineup is going to have its lumps, just naturally with kind of the style of baseball these days, where it's all about launch angles and things like that. You're going to have a lot of strikeouts. It's not really a team that's going to play small ball, so that's going to happen. But yeah, good bounce back win. Yeah, Mallett throws two innings, two strikeouts. So yeah, it was a good day for Ole Miss on Saturday. Good bounce back to put up 12 spot.
But once again, I mean, this will continue to be a theme, and it was the theme last year. It is this year. 13 runners left on base on Saturday. Yeah, you win 12-5, but you left 13 guys on base. That's got to be better. You've got to knock them in. That game should have been closer to 15 or 16 to 5. Yes, it's a good win. Yes, you're happy about what happened. You're happy about how things played out. 13 runners left on base. You can't, that's unacceptable.
Sunday, Grayson Sonnier, a little bit better outing, 5 innings, 2 Ks, scattered 2 hits. Wes Mendez came in, had a really good 2 2/3, struck out 6. He's pretty electric on the mound, true freshman. Pretty effortless stuff there from him. Kyler Carmack closes it out, 2 Ks and 1 1/3. And yeah, just Ole Miss handled business, 8-3 win. A little bit of a scary moment when Fisher got plunked in the head. I did see our very own Jake Thompson reported after the game. Bianco expects him to be fine. Punctured eardrum is kind of what
Yeah,
they're
I don't even know
expecting.
what that is. How do you puncture an eardrum?
I mean, I guess it's not a completely like blown out, so maybe just like a, you know, I don't know. I've never
Yeah, I
punctured
was.
an eardrum. So he's gonna go see an ENT. today, but they don't think it'll be serious or any long-term effects. I'd imagine probably we'll sit out the midweek and get ready for the weekend. But that's good news. A little bit of a scary moment there. Got plunked pretty bad. He was down for a little bit. They were checking on him, but yeah, a good series win. And look, like I said in the top of the show, Iowa's picked preseason to win the Big Ten, so could be a
They're
good
good.
resume. Could be a good resume builder.
They're good.
Eli Birch, 3 for 3, had himself a dinger. So yeah, I mean the lineup is, you're seeing the ebbs and flows of a brand new, basically a brand new starting nine, a brand new lineup, a lot of new faces that are trying to get into a rhythm, figure out their role. So yeah, 2 or 3. That's really all you can ask for in college baseball. Baseball's a funny game. It's weird. People are gonna lose stupid games. It happens all the time. So yeah, big ups to baseball. 2 of 3 now. They're 8-5 on the year. And looking ahead to the midweek, Memphis tomorrow, 6:30, and then Morehead State on the weekend. Elsewhere, Ole Miss Hoops, big win on Saturday. Had to have it. Got it. Look, Missouri's bad, but a road win, a game you're supposed to win. Ole Miss got out to a huge lead, 45-26 in the first half, and then Missouri battled back and made it difficult, outscored Ole Miss 52-39 in the second half. But Matthew Morrell, 21, Jamin Brakefield, 19, Jalen Murray, 16. Our guys finding a shot again. You had Cisse had 7 rebounds. Sharp had 6 blocks. I mean, that's kind of
It
the
was the
game.
difference.
That's basically how you kind of draw it up, right? You got your three guys scoring in double figures. Alan Flanagan only played 9 minutes and only had 4 points. So you imagine in a much more stressful game, more meaningful postseason basketball, Flanagan will be playing a lot more.
I think that was kind of like a internal suspension of sorts, just like, hey, let's just chill out today.
Yeah, I looked at the box score because I was keeping up with it on my phone as I was at the local tavern and every single television was on Tennessee Bama. Yeah, he no fouls, so it wasn't like foul trouble. I think that might have just been Chris Beard kind of sending a message.
Just chill out. It's Missouri. We're all right. Just
Yeah,
relax.
it's fine. Yeah, Ole Miss 50% from the field, 39 from 3-point range. Free throws not great, but still got the win. So that's all that matters at this point, right? Got to get wins, especially against Missouri and then Georgia coming up. That's basically the key to this team getting on the right side of the bubble now. Pulling up CBS Sports, let's see where Jerry Palm has things as we speak.
There's a lot of different people saying a lot of different things. And in most instances, I have seen that Ole Miss is not in the first four out, which means that we would be then
Yeah,
the next five,
Jerry
four
Palm
out.
has Ole Miss next 4 out, second team in the next 4 out.
Yeah, okay.
Net is at 78. A familiar foe, Memphis, next 4 out, according to Jerry Palm. They're the last team in next 4 out.
And that's surprising to me because they looked great yesterday against
That was,
UAB.
and that was, it's funny. A buddy of mine, yesterday, I believe it was, it wasn't Saturday. We were talking about that game because, UAB jumped out this huge lead and Memphis comes back and wins. Yeah, it's my buddy. Shout out to Adam York. Yeah, he was like, the Tigers have only lost 8 games. Like, why does it feel like they've lost 15? Just some bad losses. But yeah, Memphis is fighting for its tournament life, just like Ole Miss is right now. Tigers are 21-8. Ole Miss is 20-9. So 20 wins in the first year of Chris Beard. I can't remember. Ben Garrett will have to correct me if I'm wrong here. He'll probably remember. I think we did 20 over under, and we both said over. So Ole Miss is pretty close to that. I think you look at the rest of the way here. I mean, I think at Georgia on Tuesday, obviously it's a must win. And then at home against Texas A&M to close out the regular season, prime time, 1 p.m., CBS, everybody will be watching. That's the opportunity. You got to
Yep.
beat Georgia to get there, but then that's when all eyes are on you. Prove to the committee, prove to everyone that you're worthy. I think if they finish 2-0 the rest of the way, if they finish 2-0 this week, get to Nashville, maybe win one or two, maybe a slide in. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. What do you think?
The College Corner is headed to Oxford. Stop by their new location in the Oxford Commons off Sisk Avenue. They'll have 4,000 square feet of Rebel gear ready for your trip to the Grove. On your next trip to Oxford, stop by the College Corner or our other great locations in Ridgeland and Flowood. Hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, sweats, t-shirts. College Corner has it all. And as always, you can visit us online at collegecornerstore.com. That's collegecornerstore.com. The College Corner, where your game day apparel meets.
Hi, this is Kevin Kessinger, former Ole Miss baseball player, son of Ole Miss Hall of Famer Don Kessinger, and dad to Ole Miss All-American shortstop Gray Kessinger, and your local community banker with BNA Bank. BNA Bank has invested 125 years in our communities, and we know the needs of North Mississippi businesses better than anyone. As a commercial lender with BNA Bank, my priority is Oxford, and I'd love to help you and your business with any lending needs.
Visit www.bnabank.com to learn more. BNA Bank, local, invested, modern banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ole Miss fans, summer always changes how I get dressed. When it's 95 degrees in Mississippi and I'm bouncing between the ballpark, the studio, and whatever Ole Miss event is next, I want clothes that are comfortable but don't look like I just rolled out of bed. That's why I've been wearing Quince. Their European linen shirts have become one of my go-to pieces this summer. They're lightweight, breathable, and actually look good whether I'm covering a game or recording a podcast. The thing I like most about Quince is you're getting high-quality essentials without paying luxury brand prices. Their linen shirts and pants start at just $34, and everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they cut out the middlemen and work directly with ethical factories. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/TOC for Talk of Champions, TOC, for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
I'm maybe not as optimistic. I think you lose to Georgia, the season's over. We'll start there.
For sure, for sure.
Yep, you lose Tuesday, it's over. I think everyone agrees on that. A&M, you also, I think the same thing. You lose to A&M, then you got to really make a deep run in Nashville.
Probably got to get to the semis.
I think you got to get to the semis either way, and that's okay. A scary thought for a team that probably won't reach the semis. I think it depends on how, if they really put a beat down on A&M on Saturday, I think you're kind of in a better position to win one. Just one in Nashville, but there's a lot of outside factors involved too. But I think you got to win four games here on out. I think you got to beat Georgia, A&M, and then win two in the SEC tournament to really put yourself confidently in. Because if you're not confident, if this team is not in, like guaranteed in, and they're just floating on the bubble, there are other teams that will get in before Ole Miss. Because when you look at the quad, you know, quad three, quad four is great, but when you look at the quad one and two, it's not very good. So I think Saturday's win over Missouri, like you said, all that mattered was getting out of there with a win. Very discouraging if you're a team coming out of that win. I don't think that's one that you're excited about, you know, to get outscored the way that they did in the second half. This team just can't close. It can't finish out games. It can't finish strong. And that continues to be a recurring theme this season. You know, they just can't put the nail in the coffin. They can't put the hammer down. And that's going to be a real problem if you're fortunate enough to get into the NCAA tournament. But even before then, I mean, you've got to be able to close A&M on Saturday. You have to, it can't be a 1-point win. That needs to be a 5 to 15 point win at home against a good Texas A&M team. And then you have to do the same thing in Nashville. You have to be able to close these games because I mean, you saw it on Saturday. We saw it on Saturday. Getting outscored 52-39 in the second half. That was brutal. I mean, that there was no reason that this team should have had to sweat that out down the stretch, and they did. And that's unfortunate. And I mean, I'm really, I said I wasn't going to buy back in when I saw them lose in Knoxville. I'm struggling to do so. Saturday, to me, I know a win is a win is a win. I was discouraged by that second half, and it doesn't paint a good picture of, you know, what is to come. I thought for a minute there that Missouri might get its first SEC win, and thank goodness they didn't. But I'm not encouraged. I'm not like excited that this team is going to go into Nashville and, you know, beat the brakes off of teams that are also either on the bubble or getting in to the tournament. I just don't feel confident that this team can really do what it needs to do. And I hope that they will prove me wrong.
Key here for Ole Miss. Before we move on to softball and women's hoops, A&M hosts Mississippi State before playing Ole Miss.
Yeah.
If you're Ole Miss, you have to hope A&M gets it done against Mississippi State, because Mississippi State right now should be in the tournament.
Yep.
And if A&M does that, that's wins over tournament teams, Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida, and Mississippi State. Ole Miss has already beaten A&M on the road. If you get a season sweep of A&M, who is still kind of in that work to do, possibly in the tournament spot here, I mean, I think that that certainly bodes well. Is prime time, you know, Saturday afternoon game, get it done. That's going to be big.
Huge.
So, yeah, I mean, look, the second half against Missouri was bad. But on the flip side, if we want to do good cop, bad cop here, talk out of both sides of our mouth, it's also a showing of a team that got it done on the road when things were going poorly. Jamin Brakefield had a couple big buckets. Morrell had some big knockdown threes. Jalen Murray played well. I thought Cisse and Sharp, like, that's like the perfect formula there for that front court play, where Cisse gets you some buckets, some dunks, and then Sharp just erases people. I think that's the recipe for success for Ole Miss. And yeah, it wasn't pretty. At the end of the day, I think the committee will see, hey, got a win on the road when it needed it.
That's all that mattered. The win was all that mattered.
Like, I think that's what the committee is looking for now in these fringe bubble teams, where it's, you know, did you take care of business when you had to?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's big. So I think this is possibly where an older lineup, an experienced staff with Beard and that whole crew of coaches that have been there, done that. They've been in the tournament. They've won these games that needed to be won. So I'm excited to see the close to the regular season and to see how Chris Beard approaches the SEC tournament, which, you know, it's obviously you got to win as many as you can. But you look at the SEC and the strength of this conference. I mean, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, all in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So just that body of work, it's huge for Ole Miss to beat Georgia on the road, which is certainly doable. Georgia's not very good, but it's a road conference game. You cannot slip up, and then take care of business against A&M, and then just see what happens.
Let's start there. I'm still very much in support of this program. I think that they have the pieces to put a run together. I don't feel confident that they will, but let's start there. Let's go 2-0 this week. You beat Georgia, you beat A&M, and a statement on Saturday goes a long way to allowing you to win one in Nashville, because as of right now, you got to win two. And that's a tall task in this conference.
Yeah. Speaking of taking care of business, woo. Now, Coach Yeo caught a lot of flack for some of the comments she had this year about the crowd and the fans. Give them credit. Backed it up. 22-7, 12-4 in the SEC. Just absolutely demolished Arkansas. Left zero doubt in that one. I mean, outscored Arkansas 16-4 in the third quarter, 23-7 in the fourth quarter. I mean, put the pedal down, stepped on the throat, all the metaphors you can think of. Just an impressive showing. Snuda Collins had 18. Kennedy Todd Williams, 15. Madison Scott almost had a triple-double, 14, 13, and 8. And then Marquisha Davis put in 12 as well. I think it's kind of been the recipe for Ole Miss women's hoops under Coach Yeo. Unless this team runs into an opponent that is really efficient offensively, they're going to make life hell for people with how this team defends, how they rebound, on ball defending, they get after you. And then, I mean, you've got pretty much a triple, you know, a three-headed monster in Madison Scott, Kennedy Todd Williams, and Marquisha Davis. And then if Snuda Collins is hitting threes and getting big buckets, that's a four score. So, a clinic in taking care of business. 50 points in the paint, Grayson.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you're looking for. That's how this team is going to win, and that's the blueprint to success. And I know Marquisha Davis has been awesome, and I know Snuda Collins is fun to watch shoot, and Kennedy Tom Williams is great. But Madison Scott's one of my favorite players to ever come through this program. I think that the way that she plays fits exactly what Coach Yeo is looking for. I think the way that she really buckles down and gets the job done on the glass and in the paint and on the boards is really impressive. And she's kind of a bully, and I like that. And it's an interesting dynamic to where she's not an obnoxious bully. There are a lot of obnoxious bullies in college basketball where they are going out seeking that bully mindset. I think it just comes kind of naturally to Madison Scott in that she is big, she is physical, she is dominant, but then she also has this little chip on her shoulder, and you can see that when she goes up for a board. And I really appreciate the way that she plays, and I hope that this run will continue, because I mean, when it's all said and done, she could go down as one of the best bigs in school history. And I mean, the SEC tournament too, you're sitting at a four seed, so you got a double bye. Well, really a single bye with the play-in, whatever. Yeah, we'll call it a double bye. Really nice. That's really nice. And then you're looking at either a Florida team or I can't remember who's in that first.
Florida, Missouri, the 11-14 matchup. The winner of that will play Vandy, who's the sixth seed. And then Ole Miss will play the winner of that.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I screwed this up then.
I'm looking at SECsports.com.
So. I'm at the wrong thing.
Okay. Yeah. You're thinking you're not having to potentially face LSU until the semis. And then at that point, you're just padding the resume. I mean, Ole Miss is in the field now. You get to the semis, see what happens against LSU, which is a team that's so weird. Mm-hmm. So immensely talented. But shout out to my guy, Stephen Hartzell, friend of the program. He like put it like perfectly, where it was like just the most like complex, like immensely talented, but so dysfunctional.
Yeah. And if you get under their skin, they can collapse.
They just have people playing the wrong spots. They have the known commodities and everyone knows how good they are. Honestly, it's kind of reminiscent of some of the Calipari Kentucky teams where they're just loaded with talent, but no one really has a role, or like, it's just kind of like, hey, we're just going to do a lot of ISO stuff. But yeah, just win your first game, get to the semis, and then just see what happens. At that point, you're just playing preceding in the NCAA tournament. But yeah, big ups to Yeo and that staff and that team for really buckling down, because there were some big home games the team lost, and no pouting, nobody put their head down. They just got back to work, got it done. 22 wins, 12 wins in the SEC, most ever for the program. So yeah, big weekend for Coach Yeo and company. Three seed in the SEC tournament. I mean,
awesome.
Pretty great. I mean,
awesome.
South Carolina is still undefeated, probably going to win it all. LSU is going to make life hell for people in the tournament. Going to try to get to the Final Four and see what happens. But when you're the three seed in this SEC, it's pretty damn loud. And then before we wrap up here, quietly, just down the road from the pavilion, softball, 14-5 on the year. They go 3-2 on the weekend. Beat CELA on Friday, 2-0. Lose to UAB in a close one. And then run rule Kent State. CELA gets them again in 8 innings. And then close out the weekend, get some revenge on the Blazers, winning 7-0. I think this team is going to be fun to watch. Did you get eyes, or do you know anybody that saw the updates to the stadium?
I've heard it's really nice. I haven't seen it, I haven't seen any like definitive photos or anything, but I've heard it's going to be pretty cool from people within the program. They're all so fired up about it.
Outfield's kind of rearranged a little bit. New Jumbotron, I believe, or maybe they just moved the Jumbotron. But yeah, softball is going to be a lot of fun this year. Especially just kind of looking at still hitting 321 as a team, 25 home runs already. Two people, Jaden Pone, 426, Ainsley Furbush hitting 405. Delaney Rummel, 379. Jaleel Astor, 373. So, yeah, they swing the sticks pretty well. It's going to be a fun team. They Traxel knows what she's doing over there. I'm excited to see, McKenna, last name is Clythermas? Clytherms?
Clytherm, I think.
Clytherms, yeah. 7-1 on the year. 106 whip. 48 Ks and 41 and a third inning. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun team. And then yeah, once the weather gets nice, go out and check out the new stadium. The outdoor space for students and folks in the not sitting in the grandstands looks pretty cool.
Does.
Uber competitive SEC in softball every year. It's gonna be a team I think that's gonna give some people fits on the weekends with the way they swing sticks.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the circle too. I've said this before and I'll probably will continue to beat this drum throughout the season. When you even look at this weekend's loss, like the CELA loss on, I guess that was Saturday, losing to Southeastern Louisiana, you don't want to do, but the Southeastern Louisiana team is good. First of all, like they're a good mid-major program, but second of all, you're throwing Furbush, and that's no disrespect to Furbush, who's been very good. But she's not the arm you're going to rely on this season. So if you can really win the games when you are throwing a Furbush or a Caitlin Riley or, whatever, and then just know that you have Grace Sparks and McKenna. Oh, man, I'm going to get this one right eventually. Clytherm, as your bulk starters, that's great. So then you can go to a Furbush out of the bullpen. You can go to Caitlin Ryland out of the bullpen. You have those workhorses at the top of your rotation, and then you're able to kind of work piece them together. That serves you really well. Certainly in the regular season, that's fine. But this team is going to be in the postseason, barring, just a catastrophic meltdown in SEC play. So when you look ahead to what that takes and what it takes to make a run in softball, having two confident arms that you can then rely on are really good. Furbush is very good. Brianna Lopez is very good. Caitlin Riley is very good. You can go to them from the bullpen. You're in a great spot if you have two dominant starters who continue to be dominant. I know Grace Sparks has kind of had her ups and downs, but she's 3-0. Clytherm is 6-1. Like, that's what you're looking for. And this team has all of the pieces. Like you said, the bats are there. But then when you add in that pitching, they have all the pieces to make a pretty deep run this year. And obviously we'll see how it goes in SEC play. Like you said, very deep, and you've got Western Kentucky coming to town later in the season. They're pretty good for a mid-major, things of that nature. Like, there's still a long way to go, but when you look at this program from top to bottom and what Traxel has been able to do, really even going back to Smith and Mike Smith and what he kind of laid the foundation, and then Traxel took over and kept the ball rolling and added her players, got her system, runs things her way. There's a kind of a small ball element to this team, even though they can mash. Like, they're a very good program, and they're going to continue to be a lot of fun throughout the regular season and into the postseason. So get behind this team while you can.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that'll do it for this Monday flagship. We got baseball tomorrow, basketball tomorrow. And then
both,
women's
both hoops. Cannot lose.
Yeah. Women's hoops Friday. That opponent is TBD at the moment, as Coach Yeo and the ladies will get a nice break, nice week off to prepare to head up to Greenville for the SEC tournament. So stay locked in. OhmSpirit.com. We'll have plenty of coverage all sports this week. We'll have some recruiting stuff as the dead period is over. Ole Miss will be definitely hosting a big, big target today. He'll be on campus right now. Five-star wide receiver Caleb Cunningham, and then more as the month of March rolls on. So appreciate College Corner making it possible, bringing this show to you each and every day. Appreciate you, the listener, for tuning in. Big ups to Grayson for joining us, as always. And until Tuesday's show, y'all be good. We out.